You're about to listen to episode 3 of The Molds That Make Fatherhood. On this episode, I speak with engineer and creator of 716 Gear, James Woodruff Jr. James talks to us about having his daughter at the young age of 15. We talk about love, discipline, and how his faith guides him as a father. We had a great conversation, and I know you enjoy it. So keep listening, subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, and enjoy. Okay, man, we're recording. This is the 3rd episode of The Molds That Make Fatherhood. I'm here with my brother, James Woodruff, father, brother, mentor, hashtag and WVU alum.
Yes, sir.
Business owner, entrepreneur of 716 Gear. How you feeling today, man?
Feeling pretty good, man. Pretty good. You know, this one of the weeks that feeling a little bit better going into the week than I have the other last few weeks. So, you know, I can appreciate that. Just got to keep it going.
What's different about this week? Just got you feeling good.
Work wasn't too strenuous today. You know, going into the week, last week, the week before. I mean, work is it's just been strenuous, just in general. But it wasn't one of those things where, you know, I'm trying to get this done. I got to get this done and get this done and this done. You know, I was trying to work on something last week, all week, and today I finally got to it.
Okay.
So, you know, that's just how it's been, man. And you know, and then with 716 too, just trying to get stuff together for that. You know, had a 716 day sale on Friday, and then release some new products. So trying to get all that stuff together and get stuff together with the site and all that last week. So, you know,
okay. In the mix. Yeah, man. 716 Gear, for the people that don't know, man, like, I'm rocking it right now. The 716 Gear, man, one of the dopest, probably the dopest logo I've ever seen for like 716.
Appreciate that.
It was cool when I saw it. I was like, man, that's dope. But you know, we on this fatherhood podcast, and you know, on this journey of talking about what fatherhood is, and you know, I think I told you before, you were one of the catalysts that got me down this road, you know, of doing the coaching program for fathers and you know, embarking on this journey where I really wanted to help fathers. And you started that with your dad's group, and you invited me to it, and I came on where you was just, man, guiding conversations for fathers to talk about all kinds of topics. The CIA Dads Group. Can you tell the people what that is? Like, what it means? Well, CIA Dads, what's it all about? What sparked you to start that chat?
So years ago, man, so I was coaching football for about 7 years in Little League football. And, you know, I think it had been like 2014, kind of going into that next season, that summer. And I just felt like God was just telling me, like, that chapter of my life is over. Like, I was, you know, impactful, what have you, and, you know, try to reach beyond football and everything. But I just feel like he wanted to see me in a different arena. So my initial thought was, I'm going to start a father's group, a group for young fathers, or actually it was just fathers. And I'm like, you know, let me do young fathers who haven't been a young father. You know, hopefully I can mentor them or encourage them in such a way. Really didn't, it was going through church too. And I really never pursued it because I just was thinking like, I don't even want to put it out there. So I ended up doing middle school boys and been doing that basically since 2014, 15, yeah. Middle school and high school. So all that being said, man, you know, trying to encourage them, lead them in a way, and in some sense, most senses being a father figure to them. It was 2019 where it was kind of heavy on just people, male and female, just kind of coming up to me about stuff and, you know, parenting, what have you. And on 3 separate occasions, man, somebody was like, they were like, you know, you ought to start a parent group, like a father's group. And I was like, you know, for me, I'm like, I don't have the time. Yeah. At the time, I was doing middle school boys on Monday, high school boys on Tuesday. I had my own men's group that I was going to on Wednesday. Nobody's going to really come to any group on Friday. I had my morning's men's group on Saturday. And I'm just like, Thursday, I don't want to do nothing. Like, I'm chilling. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I was pushing it off, kind of using it as an excuse, so to speak, that I didn't, quote unquote, have time. And it just started becoming more heavy on my heart. And I remember one day just kind of sitting down and just kind of thinking about topics per se, or just different things that, you know, fathers may go through, experience, parents, just experience in general, especially Black fathers. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. You know, let's see what happens. So back in October 2019. That's when I launched it, and we were gonna do. I was just planning on doing, you know, once a month, you know, especially preserving my time. And after the first meeting, had been the first meeting. You know, I mentioned it to the guys, and like the look I got was like, no, like you can't just do this once a month and just have us on limbo, you know, for a whole another month or so. And you know, I said, okay, you know, I prayed about it, like, all right, I'll do like every other week, twice a month. And that's how I kind of got rolling. To be honest with you, the CIA dad didn't come until probably early 2020. Mm-hmm. And generally I, you know, even preparing for the meetings or just kind of going back and just filling my heart, you know, I'll go back and I'll just read some of the notes. And the one thing I do is like follow up with people. They're talking about like prayer requests or anything like that, or some things they might need help on, you know, going back and reading those notes and things, you know, help me do that, you know, being more accountable. The one thing that I continuously just recall saying or even reading my notes is basically telling fathers, like, man, you know, you gotta be more intentional. You know, that was the help or the recommendation on certain instances they've gone through, and being accountable. Us as men in general, us as fathers, hold each other accountable, and being consistent. You know, we can do things for a season, and you know, it's kind of like all the fall off, or you'll be somebody, your mate, wife, whomever, your child even might come to you about something like, oh yeah, I can do that. And then you'll do it while it's fresh, and then, you know, you fall off. Yeah. So, you know, I kept seeing those words, and I always try to do something to help me remember stuff. So I just kind of put them in what you call them, acronyms. And I'm like, CIA, you know, I wrote those words down, and I immediately like kind of saw like CIA. And I'm like, CIA dad. And then the fact that CIA, you know, is known, you know, for, you know, intelligence agency or what have you, it was kind of like, you know what, I think that's pretty cool. And to go a step further, I didn't even want to start the 716 business. The business was supposed to be CIA dad. Yeah. And when I launched both at the same time, 716 took off, and I didn't really have time to go back with CIA dad. But nonetheless, that's pretty much where it kind of originated.
Yeah. And it's almost like, you know, like things happen the way they happen, and you didn't even have to really, you still serving dads, you know, you still doing 716 here, you still serving dads with the group. And, you know, being still a fairly young man, and you've been a dad most of your life.
Yeah. More than half.
Yeah. More than half of your life, man. Having a daughter who's a grown woman now, and, you know, having your daughter.
25 on a 26.
Man. So being a dad, when you found out you was going to be a dad, you was in high school. And he's like, man, like, I was like, that don't even, there's not even a question that follows that. Like, what thoughts come to your mind when you hear that statement? Like, yo, I was a dad in high school.
It's crazy, man. You know, initially when I heard the news, it was just like, nah, that's not true. You know, and I just kind of like pushed it to the side. It really wasn't until her mom came back to Buffalo and I saw her and she was pregnant. I'm like, oh, okay, this is for real. You know, being raised without a father, it was immediate, where it was just like, all right, I'm getting this job done. Apart from that, it was just always what my mom instilled in me, that, you know, just to be a good person. So, you know, I was kind of up for the challenge per se, not knowing what the challenge is, but, you know, my mindset was just be the best person that I can be the best father, you know, that I can be, instill the values and, you know, take the values, the morals and values that my mom instilled in me and instilling in my child. You know, I knew it was going to be a learning process. I knew it was going to be difficult. I didn't know how difficult it was going to be. But, you know, I always tell the story how, and this is just to my mindset, where I was like, I'm done with sports. You know, as you know, in high school, I played all three sports, you know, football, basketball, track.
Yeah.
And I told my mom, and going into my sophomore year, I'm done. And I've been playing football since I was six. And she's like, what do you mean you're done? I'm like, you know, baby coming in the world. You know, I want to do the best I can, get a job, support her. And I can't necessarily do that trying to play three sports and still be the student you want me to be. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get a job. And just remember my mom saying, like, no, you're not. You're going to be a 15-year-old child. You're going to enjoy your high school years. And we're going to make this work. So that's what I did.
So, man, because I don't really know, like, you know, obviously we went to the same high school together, but I don't know what your fatherhood experience was like in high school. You know what I mean? Like after you, you know, you had practice and, you know, you go to school, you go to practice, and then what? It was come after that, come home, be a dad?
Yes, be a dad and be a scholar athlete. So, you know, it's you mentioned that, and I always think about being in high school. The first thing that usually comes to my mind when it comes to Jada being a father is, and I can visualize it right now. Like if I'm sitting right here, I'm in my bedroom, sitting at my desk, studying, doing my work, and she's in a bouncy right here, you know, just bouncing away. And, you know, I'll tend to her, whatever, feed her, and just, you know, I have pictures of her being knocked out. Like, those are the memories, you know, of mine. You know, waking up, got a, you know, book in my hand, her in one hand. And, you know, because her mom at the time, she was working nights so that she can, you know, help and do what she can. But it was just, I don't know, man, it was another responsibility. But like I said, it was like I was up for the challenge. And I want to say that there, because there were so many naysayers, so to speak, and so many people that, whether they voiced it or not, you can kind of tell by the vibes. They're like, what is this little boy doing with a baby? You know, it was kind of like, all right, it changed my mind. Well, just having a baby in general just changed my mindset, because my life was more aimed at pleasing my mom. I'm going to try to do everything right, like to please my mom. And I know me having Jada being born, I know it broke her heart, right? But, you know, that focus was, I'm going to be a straight A student. You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, right? But when Jada came in, it was a different focus. It was now not necessarily doing it for my mother, but doing those same things for her, setting a foundation for her, being, you know, educated, being smart, bringing in good grades to where when I'm trying to instill those things in her, it's not like I'm trying to drill things down that I didn't do. You know, yeah. So it was like, let me set the foundation for her. I'm definitely going to college. That's not an option. Become an engineer or whatever it was. And thank God that I did. But like that was the focus.
Yeah, that's dope, man. Do you think, because, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on like teen moms. You don't hear people talking about teen dads. You don't hear it.
And this is my opinion, but you don't hear it often because a lot of the teen, unfortunately, a lot of the teen dads, fathers, they're not staying around. Mm-hmm. So you hear about the single teen moms, you know, having to do it by themselves. And, you know, fortunately for me, at least through high school, her mom and I, we both were, you know, together trying to do the best for her. And that's what it was. You know, I mean, again, but at the same time, you know, you say you hear teen mom, generally speaking, when you talk about the parent aspect, you hear more about moms than anything, you know, when we talk about what's celebrated more, Mother's Day or Father's Day, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that's the way it is, man. But unfortunately, especially at a young age, a lot of these young guys, they're not sticking around.
Yeah. So, and you always been a pretty disciplined dude. You like I said, you was a scholar athlete, you know, always had great grades. And so as being a teen dad, did you feel like, what did that give you that you didn't already have? Or what did that teach you that you hadn't learned yet growing up about discipline?
Honestly, man, like I don't know. I think I've always had it. I mean, yeah. I had it, you know, prior to her. I was always a structured person. So I don't know if any discipline I can attribute to being a father, being an early father, or being a father at all. I think that was always like something that was instilled in me.
Yeah. And so as long as I've known you, I've always known you've also been a man of faith, mm-hmm. You know? And so, you know, discipline was instilled in you. I imagine that, you know, being a man of faith, that was something that was instilled in you. And how has being a man of faith affected how you parent your daughter?
So my faith is grown, you know, over the years. I kind of mentioned that the other day with the maturity of your faith is kind of grow with your experiences and things of that sort. The main thing I can kind of think about when it comes to my faith and parenting is I remember when Jada was in middle school. Boy, when I tell you, it was about then when I said, I'm one and done. I'm not having any more. when I tell you she gave me pure hell, boy, I paid for it. And middle school was a time where I pretty much took custody of her. I don't want to say took custody because it wasn't a court ordered ordeal. Her mom and I agreed that I would have her full time. And being that structured, disciplined person, she didn't like that. You know what I'm saying? And it was, well, whenever I go over my mom's house, it's like, and I'm just like, we're two different people, sweetheart. Like, this is the way it's going to be. And, and that's that. Trust me, I have your best interest at heart. But she gave me hell, man. And, I didn't understand, like, why. Because I knew what I was doing was, I felt that what I was doing was, the best interest for her. I thought I was pretty, pretty fair, and I just wanted the best for her, but was so rebellious on so many different things, man. And kind of got a little bit backstory as to why, as she became an adult. But nonetheless, I got to the point to where I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, when I say I can't do it, I mean, I can't do this alone. Like, God, I need your help. I need your help. And I remember I still have the letter. I wrote God a letter and I prayed for me. I prayed for Jada and I prayed for her mom. And I'm just like, God, like, guide me, show me what I need to do. Show me where I'm wrong. Give me the heart, give me the mindset to, be okay with making any corrections that I need to do. Help Jada to understand that I have her best interest at heart. I want to be the best, father I can be. I'm going to be your father first, friend second. I'm not going to jeopardize your morals and values to pacify trying to be a friend or, want you to quote unquote like me per se. Yeah. And it was after that letter, man, where, I felt relieved. And it was like I released some things, and God showed me a few things where, it was kind of like preserving my peace. And I talk about that all the time, to where like my peace is. Nobody can make you mad, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You can allow them to get you mad. Mm-hmm. So as far as my peace, God has given me my peace. It's up to me to maintain it and preserve it. If I don't have peace, that's my fault because I've allowed somebody to take that away. So at that was around that time where, I was just being shown different things, and like peace being one of them, preserving my peace. Another huge thing. And I'm glad I say I got this early, kind of wished I got it earlier. But the one thing was, don't be offended as a parent. Don't take things personal. Mm-hmm. So as a parent, as they would do certain things, it's like, oh, like, why are you doing this to me? And, I've done all this and, I've done this, I've done that. And, you don't appreciate this. And it was kind of like, don't take it personal because you're doing everything that you're doing out of love. Whether or not they appreciate it, that's up to them. You know what I mean? And I mean, you can make some alterations, to all that, but it was not taking things personal and just kind of being consistent in the way that I was loving her, because regardless on how she was treating me, so to speak, it was like, I need to stay consistent as a father so she can see what that looks like. My actions and my love for her should not be altered by what she's doing. Through my faith, I was able to see, those type of things. And I really want to say that it was the letter that I wrote to God that was a huge turning point for me as far as how I handled certain situations with Jada.
Would you say that writing that letter, it kind of opened you up to just like, was that the point where you opened yourself up to just doing things different?
Well, it wasn't. I don't know if it was about. I mean, yes, I did open myself up to doing things different because I opened my heart to, like, what am I doing wrong, so to speak? Right. Because for me, it was like, I'm just instilling the things that, my mom instilled in me, so to speak, the structure and this and that. But it was more like, am I being too hard on her? Should I let up a little bit? Should I do this? And in some sense, yeah, maybe I did let up. But my main thing was not jeopardizing who I was as a father. So, I mean, through that letter, it did open up, some things, but it was just like, God, just show me, like, if I'm doing something wrong, show me that I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah. Is there anything that's too much structure when it comes to being a parent or being a father, in your opinion?
It can be. And maybe I was, because, like, ironically, talked to a parent today about some things. We have to be careful when we, and this is me talking to myself, like, mm-hmm. being structured and being controlling. I think that those are things, right? But is it either way? It's probably too much. I mean, even when you're doing, you know, nice things, so to speak, you know, too much of those nice things can become a detriment to the child and in the relationship. So I can agree to say that too much structure, I don't know what that is. I don't know how to gauge it, you know, so to speak. But I can say too much structure can be a detriment to the child and your relate the child in general, and then also your relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I like that, man. So you've been talking about your faith. And, you know, it seems like you have, like, and I know you, man, you have a really close personal relationship with God, man. Like, you know, your prayer life, and you write letters to God, right? Have you ever had times as a father where you felt like you had a certain style that you wanted to parent, and it was almost against, you know, it was contradictory to maybe what your faith said of how you should be parenting?
No, I can't. Well, the only thing that I would say would be me responding or me doing something prior to praying about it, because this is what I want to do. This is what I think is best. So after the letter, even, and not to say I always get this right, but after the letter, even, it was like, in order for me to have an open mind and heart about what I want God to show me, I have to take certain things to him. You know, prior to the letter, it was like, I'm doing this. I'm her father. This is the way things are going to be. I don't want to say not that I couldn't tell, you know, anybody couldn't tell me I was doing wrong, because I spoke to my godfather quite often on some things. And, you know, he kind of pointed some stuff out to me and I made some adjustments, but it was kind of like, this is my job. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you think about it, and I say this, I think you've heard me say this too, it's like, this is the contract for me. Like, mm-hmm. God has given her to me for this period of time. I have to prepare her for when my contract ends and I become a consultant, mm-hmm. because she's always God's, right? So I have to allow him to intervene in her life as well. So with that being said, I have to go to him to, God, guide me in this, guide me in this, guide me in this. And I mean, did I get it right all the time? No, you know, because it was just like, I ain't praying about this. Like, look, do this. You know what I'm saying? And so if anything, I would probably say just kind of the things that I prayed about as far as the discernment and me having an open heart and open mind, there were still times after that where I just did my own thing, you know, in the flesh. So if I had to say anything, it'd probably be that.
Okay. Yeah, man, that when I think about it, like, I'm not particularly... So I believe in a higher power, but I'm not particularly someone who follows any particular faith, right? What would you say to fathers that don't? Because I know you use that as your guidepost in a sense. All right. So what would you say to fathers who don't necessarily follow a particular faith, and how they should be guiding themselves and techniques they should use when it comes to how they make decisions?
I would still say have an open heart, open mind, because even though you might not be going to God about certain things, have an open heart, open mind that you can go to other men, other fathers about things. And when I say that, I mean like-minded, you know, folks, not, and this kind of goes for anything, but like-minded men, like-minded fathers that, you know, you genuinely want the best for your child. But if you're going to go to somebody that's going to, you know, like a yes man, and it's just like, yeah, you did, you know, you did right. And, you know, 9 out of 10, no, you kind of did wrong. You know, that's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, even if it's not kind of faith related, so to speak, mm-hmm. still having an open heart, open mind to be able to receive correction.
Yeah.
Be coachable, you know, if you will, in that sense.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point, man, because how do you determine, you know, sometimes, because I feel like, man, you're a pretty intelligent dude. I like think of myself as somebody who's pretty smart and an intellectual. But, I don't, you know, if we just being real, everybody don't fall into that category. Right. So how do you determine what is sound advice? Like, because I'm in other, you know, single dad groups on Facebook and stuff. You know, I'd say I'm doing this coaching program for fathers. I'm in a single dads group, and a lot of guys in the single dads group, they post questions out there to the group, right? Say, hey, man, I'm going through this with my baby mom. I'm going through this with my kid. Man, any advice would be helpful. And you will see a ton of responses all over the spectrum of advice. Like, how does that father or that man determine what's good advice and what's shit? You know what I mean? Because everybody got an opinion, especially online, especially on social media.
That's a tough question. I mean, for myself, I'm a good judge of character just in general. So I think, one, I kind of know who to ask, so to speak, but in a situation like that, I don't know, you really have to think big picture. So you might see these different answers, so to speak, but if all you're doing is looking at that on the surface, then it might look good from that point, but you're not looking at a big picture. It reminds me of a conversation I was just having with a parent of mine, literally about 2 or 3 o'clock today. And it was like, I did that for safety, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, well, did you think about the long haul, on how this could affect him and whether or not now maybe you should weigh what's more important, at the time. So basically giving her a perspective on just not that you're wrong, understand what you're saying. Of course, we have our child's best interest at heart and her safety as well. But did you look at it wholeheartedly? And I can't necessarily directly, answer your question to say, that's crap. Because sometimes some people don't have that intellect, as you pointed out, to be able to decipher that. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I mean, I would hope that, for an example, I don't know. That's a tough question. I don't have an answer for that outside of that. I've been blessed with some pretty, and again, I don't always get it right, but I've been blessed with some good being able to judge some character and things of that manner, and the people that I'm around. That's a tough one, man.
It is tough, man. Because like I said, everybody will have an opinion about the same question, the same topic, and it could be 20 different people, 20 different opinions, man. You're like, man, what's what?
At the end of the day, though, you have to know you as a person, as a parent, and know your child. Because, it's just like, playing sports. It's like if you have multiple children, multiple athletes, you treat them all the same. You treat them all fair, but you treat them different.
Right.
Because everybody, they need something a little bit different. And, even in the father's group, when we talk about knowing your child's love language, AJ, he might want time, Susie, over here, she need to hear I love you, and all that. So it's recognizing those things and taking the time, being intentional about taking the time to do that. So, when you're hearing these responses, you also have to take into account the character of the children that you have as well.
Man, that's so key. Like you really have to study your kids. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen, I have to watch them. I gotta know them better than they know themselves, like inside and out. I gotta know what makes them tick, what makes them sad, what makes them happy. Just the same way I'm trying to learn about myself, my own triggers and my own things. I gotta know that same stuff about my kids. And one of the other things you talked about was just like, when you talked about writing a letter to God, when you talked about consulting other men, you talked about opening your heart. And, we both are unmarried men right now. And I know, right, like my daughter, right, like I had my son first, but I personally didn't know, when we talk about opening our heart, I didn't know what it meant to be in love until I had my daughter. Mm. Like, obviously a different kind of love, right? But I didn't know what it meant to be in love. Like, has your daughter taught you anything about love?
To a degree, I can say so, because it's like, to my point that I was making earlier, where it was regardless on how she responds to certain things, because generally as a parent, Oftentimes we do things, but unfortunately we do some things with an expectation like, oh, if I get them this, they're going to be happy about this and they're going to do this and, you know, show this and, you know, the gratitude. And, you know, for some children, they're not showing it because, and this is a tough thing for parents to learn too, is because they feel like that's what you're supposed to do as a parent. Mm. So they're not showing, you know, the gratitude or the appreciation that you think, that you should receive. So when I talk about the unconditional love, it was like, regardless on how she's treating me or regardless on how she's reacting to certain things, I have to love her unconditionally. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm not doing this. You know, I'm doing this out of love, regardless on, you know, what you've done, what you've done in school. Now, I mean, you still got to have some discipline and some consequences to certain things. But generally speaking, man, it's just like, and it was, if that was huge for me, you know, just continuing to do things because I love you, not because I think you deserve it or, you know, anything in that manner, but because I just truly love you. That's why I can come up with a long list as to why I shouldn't do it. But more than likely, those are going to be selfish. But if I genuinely have your best interest at heart and I love you as my child, that's why I'm doing it.
Have you ever felt like you had a time where it was really hard to love her unconditionally?
Yeah, I mean, it was, if I'm being honest. I mean, it was, because it's like, you don't, as much as I was trying to do and sacrifice, you know, for her, and it was like, dang, you don't see this. But to the point that I always tell the parents, sometimes the children don't have the mental capacity to quite understand that. You know what I mean? And it's like, we want them to see things as they are, and it's like, they don't. Like, you're doing what you're supposed to do as a parent. I go back to, you know, when I got laid off from my job and I was working two jobs, I'd be at one from like 2 o'clock in the morning to like 10. Then I started refereeing soccer. I was spraying airplanes, just kind of doing whatever, to where, and I was making $20,000 less. I still had a car note. I still had a mortgage to pay. But my mindset was, I'm going to do what I have to do to where she won't be, it seemed like nothing is wrong. Like, she's not missing anything. You know, and certain, you know, ways she's acting in school and all that, I'm just like, I got to do all this and I got to take the time out because you're being a butthole in school. And, you know, just kind of going back and forth, or you don't appreciate this, you don't appreciate that. So it was tough for me to still love her in that, you know, in that sense. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I can say that. I mean, of course, I look at it different now. But, you know, it was tough for me to love her in that sense, because in my mind, I'm just being selfish. Like, you're not doing what I want you to do, and you're not appreciating how hard I'm working. So, you know, why should I do this? You know? But of course, again, after the letter and all that, that was because I was taking it personal. And, but to the point of your question, having her and experiencing that also helped me to love her unconditionally.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Like, and it's like you said, kids don't have the mental capacity. Sometimes they don't. It's like, they don't even understand or think about it in terms of, I'm being selfish. Mm-hmm. Like, they see what's going on in their world, and they're like, that's all that matters. Right. And you like, man, you complaining about picking up after yourself, and like, I pay the bills, I feed you, I clothe you, I do all this. And you don't appreciate shit. Like, you know, like you said, taking it personal. Like,
but in their mind, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Right. So, funny joke is like, all right, why should I reward you because you got straight A's? That's what you're supposed to do. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get that on the, you know, on the other side as well. But, and that's a tough thing to kind of realize as parents, accepting the fact that most children, not all, some have, you know, on different levels, but most children, you know, they are literally taken for granted. What parents do, you know, whether it's working, the different sacrifices or what have you. But I also think that's another reason this is going on a tangent. That's why it's important to kind of be transparent about certain things with your children, so that they can kind of get a feel for things, let them know, hey, it may not always be like this, you know, to kind of give them a perspective on that.
Yeah. Was there any time during that process where you were having that difficult time loving unconditionally and learning that, where you were like, you could think of a specific moment where you was like, parenting moment where you was like, man, I really messed that up? Like,
Not from a loving standpoint. The one thing that stick in my mind, that stick out in my mind when I say that, if I say I really messed that up, it wasn't basically until like Jada was graduated high school. And, you know, she graduated high school. She had, you know, two jobs. And I remember us creating that date night. So, I mean, you just think about it. That was what, like 7 years ago almost, where we, you know, would go out on a date at least once a month. And, you know, she's still in the house. And I remember the time where we kind of sat down and we were talking finances. And I'm like, hey, look, like, obviously you don't have to pay anything here. Yeah, you pay for your, you know, you got a car, you pay for your gas and all that stuff. Now you have two jobs. And I mean, just kind of going through stuff. I'm like, your job's not paying a 401k. Let's establish this. Let's get all your needs or all your wants kind of in line, take that out to check and, you know, just kind of money management, so to speak. So we've done that. And then we're also going through next steps. Okay. You know, you decided you didn't want to go to college. Cool. What's the next step? What do you want to do? All right. Well, I want to go, you know, start off a CNA. All right. Well, here's what we got to do. Here's the plan. You know, we got to get your resume, you know, rolling. So we're kind of just setting this stuff in place, man. And like that month, and I kind of gave some deadlines. You know, as a parent, you know, you're out of high school now. I'm definitely going to hold you accountable for, you know, certain things. So, you know, I got a whiteboard, put this stuff on, you know, resume. Let me see a draft, you know, by here. Let me see, you know, let's do this by here. So I put all this down as far as like the CNA, the applications and, you know, and all that. So it was those dates to come by, bro. And she wouldn't even mention anything about, you know, anything that I said that I wanted to see. And it continued to happen like week after week. So, you know, I'll go to her. I'm like, you know, what's up? I'm like, well, I don't know. I forget exactly what she said, but I'm like, Jada, this is your life. Like, this is what you got to do. But nonetheless, it makes so much sense now that she was a child that didn't want to be told what to do. She wanted to do it on her time. So she was being rebellious because I gave her deadlines. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but I didn't necessarily learn this until I quote unquote kicked her out. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, you don't want to do this. You don't want to show me what plan you have. You can go live with your mother. That was me kicking around. Mm-hmm. So, but I knew that's something she didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. So she went with her mom. I took the car, you know, and everything. And, you know, I'm like, y'all figure it out. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to listen to me. So y'all figure it out. Y'all do your thing. You know, she's not the one trying to put time in to get, not to say that she didn't, you know, do it, but with this plan, like, what are we doing? Right. Mm-hmm. So, I'm like, you hit me back, hit me up when, you know, you want to come back. And, you know, I forget how long it went, but, we ended up having a conversation and, you know, I told her, I said, before you come back, we're about to have a very in-depth, uncomfortable conversation. We're gonna cry, we're gonna laugh, we're gonna do whatever, but we're gonna have this conversation because it's long overdue. Yeah. And like, no holds barred, like, your feelings, my feelings. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're gonna hurt my feelings. So I'm saying all that to say, man, and that's part of where I found out about the why she wasn't doing the things that I was asking her to do, because it was kind of like, you know, I'm out of school now. You know, I feel like I should be able to, you know, do what I want to do, you know, how I want to do it, you know, and these deadlines. And I, you know, I let her talk and I'm like, you see, and this is a point too, where like the child, that's how she saw it. Yeah. But as a parent, I saw it as, I'm just trying to hold you accountable. This is the real world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm like, I apologize to her for that, but I couldn't apologize for my intent. You know, mm-hmm. I apologize that I made you feel that way, but I can't apologize for my intent because I had great intentions and I stand by that. So I'm like, you know, I understand where you're coming from. Hopefully you can understand where I come from. The biggest thing to get me, and one of my biggest learning experiences and all of my parenthood, was we talked about how she wasn't open with me. Like I yearn for this relationship where she can come talk to me about anything. Just be honest with me about anything. And I'm like, why? Like, what? I mean, I'm giving you like every opportunity, we can talk about whatever. And the light that she shined on me was like, well, in a nutshell, well, Dad, you don't listen to me. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't listen? And she's like, if the conversation isn't particularly going in the manner, or as she said, as you might say it, if it doesn't make sense to you, you cut me off. I'm like, oh. And she was 100% right. Because I'm just like, like, that don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, why? Like, why would you want to do that? You know what I mean? You know, things of that manner. Or she gave the example, and I'm still like that to this day. But, you know, you got girls, going to be girls, and all this drama. And I'm like, Jada, you know I don't like hearing all this drama, so please just stop. But the reason why that hit me the hardest, man, is because that's one of my best attributes. I'm a great listener. Mm-hmm. And the one person I love the most, I didn't listen to. Mm-hmm. And that killed me. And like, I've changed that, like, big time. But I think that conversation also helped her, because she knows where I'm coming from. So oftentimes she'll, you know, preface the conversation with, well, Dad, I know what you're gonna say about this, but let me explain. So, like, it's already, you know, I think that conversation helped the both of us. But the biggest thing that I can say as a parent, where I can say, oh man, I effed up, was not listening.
What do you think it is about the parent-child relationship that causes us not to listen to them? Like, and be able to listen to everybody else in our lives?
Because as a parent, we think that we know what's best for them. You know, and I mean, in all actuality, in most situations, we do. But at the end of the day, we still have to listen to what they have to say. You know what I'm saying? Let them finish, you know, what they're saying. And it wasn't, for me, my reactions weren't more of questioning certain things, you know, like I do, you know, more so now, but like I do with other people, you know, I'm going to question certain things to make you think about what you just said. And then mm-hmm. you can figure some things out. You can figure the fact out that it doesn't make sense on your own. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you that, but I wasn't doing that. I was basically just telling her it didn't make sense. This is why it don't make sense, you know, and all that. So I think that as parents, because we've experienced, our parents are the same thing to us, right? Mm-hmm. We've experienced life. We think, you know, saying we know what's best for this. And instead of making it, listening to them 100% and creating an opportunity for it to be more of a learned experience for them on what they're saying, and kind of ask those questions, you know, we just kind of go all in, basically make them feel like they don't know what they're talking about sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's big for me too. I had to learn that lesson as well with my kids, just because my kids are still young, you know, 9 and 8. I don't think they know shit. No, so I'm like, I'm telling you, just listen to what I'm telling you.
Yeah, like you're not old enough. You're not smart enough to know.
I mean, you don't get an opinion in this matter. Like, yeah, right. But you know, I've been talking a lot lately. You know, I had to realize it, and talking, I feel like I've been talking to guys lately about connection over correction. And to where it's like, I'm listening. I'm just going to listen so I can connect with you. And as opposed to just trying to tell you how I think you should do it or how it should be. And maybe even allow you to have some input, because kids are smarter than we give them credit for too. So maybe we could come up with a plan together. I remember I did that with my son one time, where he was like, about his behavior. I was like, all right, we wrote down, like, all right, well, here's what do we want to do different? All right, well, what can be some of the consequences if we don't do this? Like, we wrote a list together. Like, and so to feel like, to empower them, to feel like they have some input and where I'm connecting with them. So that's definitely a change from what our parents did.
Oh, for sure. And you're getting them to think. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes they, you know, and I mean, we do the same thing until we're challenged. We think we have this great idea. And then if we don't think about it, if we're just thinking about it on the surface, and as I alluded to earlier, we're not thinking big picture, then it's like, oh, you know what? We hit this roadblock, and, you know, we're going down, you know, this road, you know, all in and full speed. And mm-hmm. we hit this block, and it's like, ooh, I ain't thinking about that. Not that that can't happen, even if you, you know, do think a little harder. But with our children, if we listen, ask questions, it makes them think about, you know, certain things where, you know, they wouldn't necessarily think, because again, they don't have that capacity sometimes to think big picture. And their mind is like, oh, this is a great idea. And it's like, instead of you saying, well, no, it's not, you know, we can just be like, you know, okay, well, yeah, that does sound like a great idea, but did you think about this? Or what would you do if this happened, you know, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah. Give them that opportunity, like you said, to think, man. You know, you were talking about the big picture, right? Like, and being a dad over half your life, you've been able to see a little bit more of the picture, right? So a lot of these young fathers out there, like when you think about what you know now, right, and how you feel about parenting and how you've grown personally, like what would you say to a young father? What would you say to 15-year-old James Woodruff Jr., if you could, what would you say to him about fatherhood?
I honestly, man, don't have this whole, you know, beautified answer. I would honestly tell him the same thing I told him at 15. Be the best father and be the best young man you can be. Be the best father you know how to be. And being the best father I knew how to be at the time, I mean, I didn't know much. So it was kind of like, you know, going by the wings. But if I was putting my best foot forward, if I can continue with the mindset to make her proud, set a foundation for her, then for me, I was on my way on being the best father I knew how to be. And then to be honest with you, that's the same thing I'm telling myself now. Because even at 40, every year she turned another year, every different experience that she go through, that's a new experience for me. So I have to handle that the best way that I know how, but it's a different level also. Because now that I'm a consultant, all I can do is just, you know, tell you something. What you do with it is totally up to you. And I've been extremely intentional about that, that I know that I can't tell you what to do. However, I can let you know, hey, I see you. I see this. Here's my advice if you want it. Here's a suggestion if you want it. And introducing those questions, so to speak, to kind of get her to thinking. But parenting is definitely on different levels. But I would honestly probably tell them the same thing, man. Just be the best father you know how to be. Be the best person you know how to be.
Man, I love that answer, man. Because I think that's lost sometimes with a lot of parents, of just the idea of just being the best you can be. Like, and not thinking that you got to compare yourself to other parents or be this perfect parent. Like, oh, I always got to have a house clean. My kids got to be scholar athletes. And you know, my kids got to be that. And I got to have it together all the time. And you know, my kids can't act out in public, and you know, all this other stuff. Just do the best that you can.
Do the best you can. And I mean, I think that too, I like the example that you were given. And I mean, we naturally just kind of parent the way we were parented, or totally opposite. You know, we'll look at those scenarios and be like, yeah, you know, my mom did this. You know, I mean, that seemed to work. That seemed to make sense. I'm going to go ahead and do this. You know, my mom did this. I ain't like that shit. I ain't doing that to my child. Although that might be what your child actually needs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just because you didn't like it, don't mean you shouldn't apply it. There's some things you didn't like, you might apply anyway, because you as an adult, you see that it worked and you understand why. But just be the best parent you want to be. And actually, I mean, even now, using the CIA dad model, so to speak, I could say that, you know, be consistent in what you're doing, be intentional, and be available. Definitely be available.
Man, I love that so much, man. I admire you as a dad, you know, as a person, as a friend, and just as a human being, man. You've been a good friend for a long time for me since high school, a good role model, mentor, and I just love everything you're doing, man. And I appreciate you as a friend, as a father. And I appreciate you being on here and having this conversation with me, taking the time. I know you got a lot going on. I know you're busy. 716 is doing well. Tell the people where they can go, man, because I know you're branching out right now, man. You're just doing 716 gear, man. You're starting to branch out, right?
Trying to. So, I mean, 716 gear is basically just repping the town, repping Buffalo. And we have, you know, a variety of different things. I mean, you see AJ sporting the Hutch Tech shirt, kind of added some things to that as well. Got a Rep the Town on the sleeve, on one sleeve now. Got the engineer, got the mascot name on another sleeve now. So trying to branch and make things better in that sense. But, you know, we have a Buffalo Brush, Bills Mafia type ordeal, just home shirt. So there's a wide variety for you to just represent the town, represent where you're from. Especially if you're not living in Buffalo right now. So yeah. 716gearshop.com, 716gearshop.com. And you can find some CIA dad stuff on there too.
Okay.
So kind of get through that in there.
I love it, man. You got any closing statements you want to leave us with?
I mean, one, again, I appreciate it, man. I love what you're doing. The last time we spoke, I told you that this year hasn't inspired me to want to do the same thing. And I think when I get an opportunity to do it, I think I'm going to start with my father as well. And there are some other, you know, mentors that basically have had some tremendous impacts on my life that I like to get on and just kind of interview as well, just to kind of, you know, pick their brain and just how things kind of transpire for them and how and why, you know, they were in my life the way they were. But other than that, man, you're like, keep doing your thing. I mean, this is certainly inspiring. I'm pretty sure you certainly a huge impact on those fathers or single fathers that group that you have. And, you know, you're full of some wisdom. We're continuing to learn, you know, every day. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, continue to be a CIA dad.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. If you listen to this podcast and you know, I have a co-parenting fathers Facebook group where, you know, we're just trying to help dads be the best version of themselves, just trying to navigate through co-parenting and, you know, create powerful connections with their kids and those type of situations. So check out the Facebook page. And thank you, brother. Thank you again. And, you know, maybe we'll have to do this again sometime.
Oh, man, you already know I'm ready. I'm ready. All right, anytime.
All right, man.
All right, bro. Take it easy.
You too. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Molds That Make Fatherhood. Please share this with your friends if you enjoyed it. We're going to keep having these conversations. They're just going to keep getting better and better. So subscribe to the podcast. Give it a 5-star review on Apple. If you have any suggestions or want to reach out to me, go to my website at www.continuousjourneyllc.com and let's connect. We'll see you on the next episode.